views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wellness right now.
Hello, everybody. Hello. This is Coach Peggy, and we are here on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. As you know, you can join me every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 Eastern. We talk all things wellness. I always grab one of my favorite unicorn mugs, and I have an awesome guest here today, Jane Finkel. Show me your mug. What did you bring today?
Okay, this mug is from my father. It says he was an entrepreneur. And it says, make it happen. And I thought, that's a great way to start the show.
We are going to make it happen. I have decaf coffee in mind because I'm a little wired up today. So
okay.
You're gonna,
all right. I'm prepared.
Okay. So anybody who knows me, this is just fantastic. I'm going to introduce Jane in just a second. But you are going to be really surprised why I would even have her on the show, because I'm just going to preface this by saying I'm an extrovert. So Jane is amazing. She's a career coach. She has been in the industry, certified counselor for over 25 years. She works with career transitions and organizational workplace adjustments. One of the most difficult. I came out of corporate America, you guys. This is not easy. I want to say a fun tidbit that I learned about Jane. You worked for Dress for Success in Philadelphia.
I did. Well, I was on the board.
The board. That's what I meant. You didn't work for them. That's a cool organization. That fun tidbit, fun fact. Okay, so Jane wrote this amazing book, Introvert Complete Guide, Career Guide. You guys, let me tell you why I grabbed that and why I resonated with Jane real quick. So I take all of the demographics of my clients over several years I've been doing this, and I do their body composition, and I look at all sorts of things, success rates, participation levels, many things. And I started noticing over the last few years that I'm getting more introverts by personality trait, if we're going to talk about that. But I was like, what is going on? And so I wanted to kind of figure out a little bit more about introverts and see what's going out in the world today. Maybe there's something I'm missing. So that's what we're going to chat about. My population right now, Jane, is about 69% of my client base are introverts, which is more than the national average.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, they don't really know for sure. They think it's somewhere between a third and a half, you know, about anywhere between, you know, maybe around 50% or less. So it's hard to know.
See.
But I'm glad you're working with them. They bring a lot to the environment in so many ways. But, you know, there's a mystery to them, too.
So first of all, welcome. I'm so thrilled that you're with us. And I kind of wanted to start off, I know this is how you always explain why you wrote the book and stuff, but I really want you to, I mean, how many examples did you have to have or personal experiences before you said, I'm going to write this puppy? Were there a lot?
Well, yeah, I think, first of all, I had my own experience. So I worked at a large university, and I would go to meetings, and there were like 20, 25 people, very competitive environment. And I froze. I didn't know how to break in and, you know, say something about what I was doing, even though I was doing wonderful things, I thought. Right. So that was my personal struggle. And certainly growing up, I had a big family. There'd be huge events. And for some reason, I didn't really want to go, but then I would go and have a good time, but I always wanted to leave before everybody else. So I think it was my own struggle. And I think when I started seeing clients on my own, I noticed it might have not been the exact same struggle that I had, but they had this sense that they're getting to advance in their careers or to advance in life, they needed to do something different and they didn't know exactly how. So I wanted to write this book to advocate for introverts, to speak out for them, but more importantly, to help them speak out for themselves. And I wanted to find a way for them to embrace who they are, but also, adapt some new behaviors that would help them be successful.
I thought you did a great job. You and I have chatted. So as an extrovert, I thought you did a fantastic job of not only kind of storytelling through and keeping us connected and entertained, but it was to-do list, which I love. Right. You know, I could follow all the way through and it meant a lot to me. So I think you did a fantastic job of doing that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think we all need, we can talk about things and it's so important to process. I never minimize that. But after the processing, now what do I do? You know, give me some tools, make this a little bit more practical for me.
So are Americans or is American culture, are we truly mostly extroverted or is that a myth?
I don't think that's a myth at all. I think that the American culture is highly extroverted. Just look at the ads on TV, right? It's people bicycling together. It's very action oriented or people talking in groups. You don't see a lot of ads of somebody sitting alone reading. Maybe if they're in the hospital, you might see that. But in general, it's very action oriented and we are rewarded for speaking up and taking action. And I think what's even become more of a trend is that we have to know how to market ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that those are challenges that are, they present challenges to introverts.
So if we dial it back, maybe because you're the expert at this, can you give us a definition of what an introvert and extrovert kind of is? Because I thought that was cool the way you did that.
Yeah. Peggy, I think this is a really important question because there's a lot of misconceptions on both ends. So extroverts get there. It's about your energy. It's not necessarily about social skills, although it can impact social skills. So extroverts are more energized when there's lots of opportunity to interact externally with people and activities. It doesn't mean they don't like to be alone, but their energy just tends to expand that way. Introverts like people and they like activity, but they need more time to be alone because they get energy from reflection. So introverts think before they speak. So they need to process that, where extroverts tend to think and speak at the same time. And they both have value. You know, they both, work in certain, situations. And it's just, it's all about balance. But I think that introverts tend to think that they're at a disadvantage because of the pressure in this culture to be a little bit more extroverted.
So maybe you can you give me a little bit more on the qualities of an introvert that we overlook?
Yeah, well, I'd love to. I think the main thing is this reflection. So they think very carefully about things and they're also keen observers and they listen well. So often if you give them a chance to speak up, they often have something very insightful to say. They also have this ability to concentrate. So if you have a problem that needs to be solved, they'll dig as deep as they possibly can to, research the information and come up with a good answer. And then the other thing is that extroverts are sensitive, but I think introverts are a little bit more sensitive because of this feeling of being left out sometimes. And so it makes them empathic and often creative. So to be creative, you have to be alone, right? You have to sort of think things through. So I think those are really wonderful qualities that add a lot to our environment and to the workplace.
You know, there is actually a more personal reason that I was really interested in your book, and that's because I'm really surrounded by introverts in my family.
Oh, lucky you.
I am. And I don't think we've ever done. So my oldest son is an introvert. My mother is an introvert and my sister is an introvert. And I don't think we ever really did the, you know, you're a a wallflower and I'm like the lead singer, you know, stealing the show. I don't think we ever really did that, but there is a very clear respect. I mean, we have a line where we respect each other's differences, but when I read this book, I called my oldest son almost immediately and said, this is what we need to do. This is going to help you so much. So I am going to forego commercial, Kat, if that's, I just want to keep kind of, is that okay with you, Jane?
Yeah, this is great.
We're going to keep hanging out. So maybe I'm skipping ahead in your thoughts, so pull me back. But one of the things that I loved that you did is that preparation piece, because I was so excited about this. So when I called him, he gets so nervous. He's going to kill me that I'm talking about this. I'm just going to tell you as an introvert, because I didn't give him a chance to think about it. But the process of like even going out in a business meeting or needing to have that conversation, when I chatted with him about having those internal dialogues or being ready, that I want, would you please share on how to get prepared for those situations?
Yeah, well, as I said, I would freeze and it got worse and worse. And what I finally realized is that maybe I needed to prepare before the meeting. So you can often get the agenda. If you can't get the agenda, you could stop by your supervisor, whoever's leading the meeting, and ask them what the main issues are. And then think in advance, what are some questions that you could ask related to what's on the agenda? Or maybe you're working on a project or you have some opinions on, you know, some of the issues that are going on in work. So I think that advanced preparation is really key. If you really are nervous, then maybe bounce it off a friend, you know, actually role play it. If, you know, sometimes the first time you do those things, you know, you're uncomfortable. The other thing that you can do is what I call diplomatic interruption. So let's say, you know, you're in a room, the extroverts are talking and they're taking center stage and you really want to get in there. You can say, sorry to interrupt, but I have something important related to what you're saying. Or what you just said really resonated with me and I have a great idea. Or I need to just jump in for a minute here. So sometimes that's a little hard for introverts who've never done that. But, you know, the extroverts are doing it with each other. So you can kind of copy that. The other thing is, if for some reason it just was too difficult to jump in, it's not over. You could send an email to everyone that was at the meeting and highlight some idea that you thought about after the meeting. So, or you could even volunteer at the end of the meeting to write a summary of what happened.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But it is important to have a presence, you know, you have to take risks. And we know that that's how people grow and change. So.
Right. And the more you do it, you know, take some of that fear away. So how do introverts not get depleted if they're in a career or a position that they have to do this often?
Well, I think sometimes it's hard. I can find ways to get out. So let's say, you know, you're in the office all morning and people are interrupting you and you're on the phone and people all want this feedback. At some point, get up and say, I have to go to the you know, the ladies' room or the men's room. Or maybe during lunchtime, you can just simply walk outside, you know, get a, you know, take or do some deep breathing. That really helps too. But find ways, if you can, during the day to recharge. And if not, sometimes it's not possible. Figure out when you get home, you can sit on the couch. And if it goes till 10 o'clock, then figure out a time, times during the day that you can just have some breathers. Because it's like, you know what it's like? An empty tank. You know, you're talking all day. I mean, I've been to all day conferences. And by, and then I have to have dinner with a group of people and it's just exhausting. So you have to find ways to, you know, refill your tank basically. So.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I was telling you before we started tonight that one of the things or many things that I loved in the book is, and I know it's not brand new, but how you take us through finding your top values and your top performance characteristics, and then how it kind of moves into the skills inventory. And as an extrovert, I went through those exercises, but chat about how you ended up putting those in a row. And
well,
how
that's kind of a basic foundation for whether you're introverted or extroverted. And it's, but for introverts, it's another way to plan in advance. Mm-hmm. So one, it kind of informs your resume and networking. So if you're able to articulate what are your most important values, what you do really well, what you're interested in, and who you are as a person, it will help you develop your resume, but more important when you network or you're looking for work. But even it's so important when you're wanting to advance in your career that you're able to highlight your accomplishments, you know, articulate it. So I think sometimes introverts don't know where to start. And so this is another form of advanced preparation that can really help you market yourself, but just be prepared to be able to, if someone says, you know, what do you do or who are you? You don't want to just focus, oh, I'm the vice president or I'm a coach. You want to be able to expand and, you know, engage them. So
I was thinking about the, because maybe this is just a preconceived notion, but that ruminating and that internal processing and the energy that takes exhausts me when I'm thinking about it, because it's opposite of kind of what I do. But do you find that there's kind of a little bit more of a lag time to take a step and go into action as an introvert? For instance, changing your resume or getting a new job or anything like that, there's this little...
Right. Well, I find, I don't think the resume is as much of a problem, because that's writing, and introverts like to write. They're often good at writing because that's an advanced thinking and nobody's interrupting them. But I think when it comes to networking, they start to hedge because they don't like large events. And they don't like to talk to people that they don't know on the phone, but they have social media, which is a great way to introduce yourself. And they can write a little note and say a little bit about their background and who they are, and then ask for maybe some time to talk with someone. So they do prefer one-to-one because they can ask questions, and I think they feel like it's a more comfortable way to introduce themselves. But I also think it's important to push yourself and go to a few of those events. You don't have to go to 20 events, but go to 2 or 3, because first of all, you'll see that you can do it and you might actually have a good time. So I'm very involved in my professional association, and they always have every other month, they have a big event. And I get up in the morning and I think, well, I hope they cancel it, because really I just like to get some work done. Then I put on my uniform and I go there and I have a great time. It's sometimes it's just the energy or the anticipation. And once you're there, you know, you can really enjoy it. And, you know, one of the great things that introverts do in networking is they ask good questions. So they don't necessarily like to reveal too much about themselves right away. So they get the other person to talk, and that kind of warms them up. And then they're more comfortable, you know, to start to talk about themselves.
I thought about you this last week, and I have an introverted buddy slash client-ish that I'm working with right now. And so he's finding that he's becoming more and more introverted, which I realize, you know, you said as we get older, even extroverts do.
Right.
So I told him his assignment this week is to sign up on meetup.com. And he's like, there's no way I could do that. I mean, and I said, listen, do you understand that there are simple things about... there's a law of attraction group. There's a painting group. And he was floored, right? He had no idea about it. So this week his assignment was to at least look into it. He doesn't have to go. But
yeah, great. Yeah, sometimes it's just taking those baby steps.
Right.
And then, you know, ready to advance. So, you know, I do think sometimes we have to be patient and let people go. But we just don't want it to compromise their development or getting ahead. So...
Mm-hmm. The social media piece, you just led into that a little bit. I love that, because I started thinking about that a lot. And are there certain platforms that you would recommend that an introvert start with that are kind of baby steps?
I think LinkedIn because it's totally professional. So if you're worried about confidentiality or people knowing too much about you personally, that's not what LinkedIn's about. It's totally professional. And you can post articles and they're not personal. You know, they might have something to do with your field. You can also, you know, you might have developed some expertise or won an award, and you can post that online and it could reach 100 people depending on how many contacts you have. It's also easy to, nothing replaces in person, right? Mm-hmm. But it's an easy way to make initial contact. And really generate a very strong professional network. So I think LinkedIn is the best place to start. And then as they feel confident, they might go to Twitter, because Twitter sort of combines personal and professional. And then if they feel totally comfortable with that, they can move on to Facebook.
So, right. Right. I love the summary, the follow-up thing, because it seems probably a little bit less personal instead of a proactive approach, kind of the reactive approach of, so glad I went to, here are some of my follow-up thoughts. I had never thought about that in a follow-up email. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just you want to make sure. See, I think sometimes extroverts feel if you don't speak up, either you're not interested or something's wrong. And the introvert's feeling like, you know, I'm invisible here. I don't like that feeling. So,
right.
I think there are ways to balance that.
What was your biggest aha when you finished this and it was done and you were sending it off? What was the thing that you just were like, wow, that was kind of either a surprise or you were really glad that you got it out there?
Well, I was surprised that I did it. No, I mean, I felt just an incredible accomplishment. Yeah. And, you know, the goal was to help people. And so now when I hear people say, I saw myself in this, oh, I've, you know, learned some tools that'll really be valuable. I think, you know, when you're writing, you're kind of in this process, but you don't maybe think about how valuable it may actually end up being. So,
right.
There is great. I think what I learned too is that there's power in silence, both for extroverts and introverts. And so that's part of the message too.
I loved, I had no idea how many people that are so successful that are introverts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
reel off some names, girl.
Yeah. Bill Gates is very open about it. And he, there's some quote where he talks about he thinks that introverts are great problem solvers because of the way they dig deep. The other person is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If you saw her documentary and they would switch the camera to someone describing her, modest, quiet, a little reserved, all these qualities that we attribute to introverts. And there's Warren Buffett. Eleanor Roosevelt was introverted. Melissa Mayer, who was she at Yahoo? I think she was the CEO at Yahoo. I hope I got that right.
One of them, yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
I think Elon Musk surprised me the most.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you can, even though he's on TV a lot or he's interviewed, I can feel kind of a reserve him, so.
So how are you, what are the things that you are finding with your clients right now? Is it about the same as when you wrote the book? Are there more things popping up? Are we going to get a book two out of you? What's going on?
Oh, well, I think if I wrote another book, it would expand on how to use the best advantage of being an introvert in a workplace. Mm-hmm. I think that we are in very unstable times. And change is pretty rapid. And so you can be working and then they change your job description in 3 months. I just think we're dealing with a lot of unpredictability. And I think that introverts really have to know how to market themselves, because they could be laid off or just, you know, they can be in situations where the competition is really steep. So.
Yeah, we always have to be ready, unfortunately.
And I think sometimes, well, extroverts do, but I think introverts sometimes really struggle with conflict, being direct with conflict. So
is there a lack of don't shoot the messenger here. Is there any difference in confidence level between it? Does an introvert have to perform more and then become more confident?
That's a really great question. I think somebody should do research on it. I think that introverts may feel less confident because of the pressure to fit into the extroverted culture. Yeah. And because sometimes when I talk to extroverts, they'll say, oh, I have a friend who's an introvert and she's so shy. You know, they're sort of nicely being condescending. And I think that introverts feel that from the culture.
I agree.
But the good thing, the positive thing about being introverted is that we're forced to balance both. And I'm not saying that extroverts don't either, but we're really forced to balance both. And isn't that what we all want? You know, exactly. To be able to balance, you know, who we are. So,
well, I'm going to challenge you by saying it's probably harder for an extrovert to become an introvert than an introvert to become an extrovert. Because I don't do a very good job at that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, silence. A lot of people are uncomfortable with silence.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what we need to be comfortable with. And if you're with somebody who's quiet, you know, you want to like get some response for them. And maybe it's just okay to let them be quiet for a little bit. So
I agree. Yeah, there's nothing wrong if there's some silence. Our time is about up. I know. I just want to party with you and hang out, Jane. I could drink coffee all day with you. Will you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Well, I think the best way to find me is on my website, and it's janefinkelonword.com. And there's information about the book, more information about the book, but it's also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and my favorite Indie Bound, because I love independent bookstores.
Oh, so, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I loved having you on here, and it's definitely going to affect how I help my clients moving forward. Oh. So we will stay in touch.
Great.
All right, you guys, you can reach me on 3wellnesspillars.com. As you know, you can hop on there and have some fun, check out my blogs and sign up for newsletter, all that fun stuff. And next Monday, 27th, I'm going to have author Emma Mardlin. She's from London. She's a clinical psychotherapist and performance coach. So that's a little bit different than what we talked about today. She's going to discuss her 5-star book, Out of Your Comfort Zone. So that's really cool. Many introverts need to show up for that one. So step-by-step guide. We're going to become resilience builders and anxiety busters. So come right back, you guys. I'm going to let Jane go, and I'm going to have a little bit of an after party. So we're going to go to commercial and come on back.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.